relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Are you in a good mood? I'm in a good mood. Why? Because when you've got good friends who are true fighters, the victory is always possible. It's been far too long. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. And for the whole first hour, we are joined by two of the very best out there, lovers of the nation and our Constitution, Victoria Tansing and Joe DeGenova. Welcome, dear friends, to America First.
Good to be here.
He's so reserved. What's going on, guys? Are you keeping your powder dry?
No, we just made it up to the studio.
You just made it in time. But you did, and we are so excited. A great, great lineup today. Big stories. Lee Zeldin has declared he is running to replace Andy Cuomo as the governor of New York. We will be talking to the congressman himself. We're going to be discussing the latest developments in the Swamp with Matt Boyle, Mr. Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website on the planet, of course, Breitbart.com, and then checking in with the national security correspondent for JustTheNews.com. But first, Joe, Victoria, you are part of the Newsmax family. You have your Monday show, 11 to 12, where you commentate on the week's events. It's called National Report. I, by the way, have my new show this Sunday on Newsmax.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. It's called The Gorka Reality Check, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern. So, well, just tune into Newsmax. You won't miss a thing. Okay, let's start with your latest mission. You are perfectly qualified as former chief counsel to Senator Barry Goldwater, working on the Senate Select Intelligence Committee, as former U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C. You've seen it, been it, done it, got the T-shirt, and seen the swamp from the inside. We have to discuss what happened in this nation last year. We have a new president. It's done. But we have H.R. 1. We have an assault on our Constitution, on our electoral system. Could we begin with the basics of this very unusual system we have, whereby you explained to me before we started the show that it's not the states that run the elections, is it?
No,
it's very particularly
under the
who runs
US
our elections.
Under the Constitution, the state legislature is in charge of the time, place, and manner. That's the quote.
So it's not the governor. It's not the Secretary of State.
Certainly not.
It's not the person who has the title of chief election official, what have you. It is the legislature that has the constitutional mandate, despite these being federal elections.
That's right. This was very important to the founders of the Constitution that the states have this ability, because the states were little states and big states.
Right.
And always balancing the little states with the big states. And that, you know, of course, why we have the Electoral College.
So what happened in the states where, strangely, there was a GOP state house, but the results changed overnight? What happened to this mandate? Was it an unwillingness to exercise it? Talk to us about what should be done, how it should be done, and the threat that the latest propositions from this city, D.C., represent.
Well, basically, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer are trying to federalize everything in the election, saying you can't do that. And unfortunately, the Constitution does say, but Congress may alter whatever the states do. So that's there in the Constitution.
So if it's there in the Constitution, is this a done deal? If it says that there is a role for federal government, where is the balance to be found?
Here's the point. While the Constitution does say unless Congress intervenes, that the provision, the constitutional debate about that during the writing of the Constitution, the reason they gave that safety valve was in case the states were doing bad things, weren't holding elections, so they wanted to give Congress a chance to step in and fix it. That's not where we are right now. The states are doing exactly what was intended. They're amending their laws. Now, what happened last time around in 2020 was Republicans were not they were asleep at the wheel. They allowed litigation to go on all over the country. We talked about this the last time.
Yes.
The RNC did not file litigation in opposition. You had some Republicans that were scared to death of being called racist. So you had the Stacey Abrams settlement in Georgia, which completely upended Georgia law. And
Talk about what Stacey Abrams did.
Let me talk about Georgia, because remember, state legislature, time, place, and manner. The Secretary of State, Raffensperger, made a deal with Stacey Abrams. He didn't have the constitutional authority. It was illegal.
What was the essence of that deal?
I'll just give you two of the things. The state law required that if you're going to vote absentee, you have to request it. And then they can check things out. Raffensperger agreed, if you can believe this, he's just going to mail out a ballot to
every
registered voter. So felons voted, dead people got ballots, and who knows who did what with them, because then here's the second bad thing. They had the drop boxes. That was not allowed.
Unattended.
Just there they are, wherever.
Nobody knows who put ballots in those boxes.
And then ballots to everybody. You know that.
And then no signature verification.
So let's stop here for a second. I'm not a lawyer, okay? And I wasn't born here. I'm an immigrant, okay? A legal immigrant. But in all of law, what is the logic? You have to impute some motivation, whether it's a murder trial, whether it's burglary, whatever it is, fraud. Under what motivation would a jurisdiction change a requirement to verify a signature of an individual participating in some official act?
Oh, my God, it's racist. You don't know that? It's racist.
And say, we don't. I mean, in Virginia, the governor unilaterally said no verification of signatures. To what end does a legal professional or a judge say, why would you do that?
It beats me. I can tell you, when I went to vote in Maryland, I was told it's against the law to ask you for any identification.
Absolutely absurd.
Nuts? Are you nuts?
We don't have to go over the litany of things in America that you have to have a driver's license for, or for government ID to get any particular service, an airline ticket, buy a car, you know, get a
rent
hotel
a video
room,
way
you know,
back when.
Whatever it is.
Right.
Bottom line is the only reason you do this is so the vote cannot be verified.
Yeah.
This is an invitation. That's why France has abolished mail-in voting. That's why Jimmy Carter and James Baker back in the 80s in their famous commission said there should be no mail-in voting unless it's an absolutely for people who are incapacitated at home. Now, all of a sudden, all of that is being thrown out the window because the Democrats have realized they can do things with mail-in balloting where there is no verification that create a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. The motto should be make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. And that's the mantra that we have been saying.
And that's what Georgia tried to do in this latest legislation, which is actually really very, very well written. Nothing's perfect.
They're still allowing absentee voting without any excuse, which is, to me...
But at least they're requiring signatures. They have to be compared. They have verification. The drop boxes are attended.
Oh, my God. The drop boxes are going to have to be near the voting office.
So,
says, geez.
And that's why these accusations by the president and others that this law is Jim Crow all over again is so
and
disgusting.
And the 5 o'clock closure is only during early voting because that's the time the office is closed. Yeah. So they didn't want to keep the regular workers there to 8 o'clock at night for 3 weeks or however long the early voting is.
And just a reminder that please, you can use out there if you get into a debate over these issues, dear friends, if somebody uses the hackneyed pot boiler, reheated leftover of, it's Jim Crow all over again. Just ask them, well, if you want to have fun, just ask them, what is Jim Crow? Okay? That'll stump them. And then if they have an answer that's actually reasonable and they know, ask them, who instigated Jim Crow?
Oh,
which party instigated Jim Crow? Your public service announcement and a reminder that Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican president and the KKK was a Democrat organization. They're here for the whole hour and we love it. Joe DiGenova, Victoria Tansing, I'm Sebastian Gorka. Dear friends, there's never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Did you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? At any time you go online, your internet service provider can see every site you're visiting. Are you confused about how it works? ExpressVPN is an app for computers and smartphones that encrypts your network data and reroutes it through a secure server. That means you can use the internet more anonymously without having your activity tracked. Do you think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? Take it from me, they're not. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app and tap just one button to protect yourself. It's really that simple. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/GORKA and get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Gorka right now.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
You don't say it on this show. Welcome back, dear friends. Live streaming on YouTube, available on Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka, wherever you get your podcast, 24/7 on our website, sebgorka.com. And we have an app, yes. You can just tune in any time of day. Download the America First app wherever you get your apps from. And also, don't forget, we have a store. If you want to proudly wave your America First pride, well, check out all our amazing products, sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. Is that enough? Is that enough advertising? What do you think, Shad?
I guess. I mean, the people are here because they want to hear what our wonderful guests have to say.
And get a mug.
Yeah, and get a mug. That's true. That's true.
Okay. I want to continue, because I'm the lame man in this discussion. I always learn so much from you guys. Our guests are Joe DiGenova, Victoria Tansing. This HR1, what Nancy's trying to do with our elections, is clearly, to me, as the amateur, an attempt at the usurpation of our federal elections and making them federally controlled. If that's the case, if the state houses fail to resist, what is the only recourse? Does this end up in the Supreme Court and
yes,
it gets punted again?
Yes. No. Well, what's going to happen is if H.R. 1 were to pass in the form that it's in, it would be a constitutional crisis, because then Congress would have usurped the function under Article 1 of the states. And then the argument would be joined as to whether or not they had the right to do that under these circumstances, when in fact the states were legislating honorably. Maybe people could disagree about the results, but the motivations were just and proper. What this is all about is exactly what the filibuster debate is about. It's about the states as individual units having power, as opposed to just large numbers of people. One of the reasons that Manchin is opposing the changes to the filibuster rule, he says, I'm from a small state, West Virginia. If I cave into this, then all of my people lose their rights. Then
I have no more say.
Then it's just the big states, and everybody loses. That's exactly what's going on with the changes in
the election law. And that's the only way the H.R. 1 can pass, is if they do away with the filibuster, which I don't like to call it that because that's so vanilla. I call it the nuclear option.
Nuclear option.
Because it just wipes out everything.
Then the Senate becomes another House of Representatives where there's no cooling in the saucer and all of that stuff.
So... And again, as a layman, if it creates a constitutional crisis, if it has to be challenged to the Supreme Court, well, they've already spoken with regards to the case from Texas. Texas was deemed to have no standing in a federal election when we're choosing a president who happens to be the president for Texas as well as Long Island, is the writing not on the wall?
Well, this is a little different. This is a piece of legislation. They'll have to take the case. They don't have any choice. The states will be in a different posture here. The last cases all involve challenges to elections.
Yes.
This will
not
involve,
the legislation.
This will be a challenge to a piece of federal legislation in direct conflict with Article 1.
Without a campaign being at issue.
Yeah, with no particular election
with no
being
results
at stake.
Being at
exactly.
stake. Right. Okay.
They won't have to say those votes don't count in order to decide on this election. By the way, that whole fear, the remedy, was always the big problem in the election cases, because the courts just didn't want to say we're going to throw out votes.
Right.
Even though that was the only remedy that was fair under the Constitution, was to throw out illegal votes. The courts didn't want to do it. They abdicated their responsibility, including the Supreme Court, and they let bad elections go forward.
And that was the issue in Wisconsin, where, again, the Republican...
Right, you wanted to mention Wisconsin.
The Republican state legislature was... here's what they had in the election law in Wisconsin. Are you ready for this? You had to show an ID for any kind of absentee voting, unless you were indefinitely confined. And for some reason, there was an exception to that. So if you were... said you were indefinitely confined, you could vote without any kind of real verification.
You know, if you were someone who was confined at home because of an illness.
Okay. Right.
Verifiable illness.
So in 2016, in the two Democratic counties that were Milwaukee and Madison, liberal enclaves, 16,000 people were indefinitely confined.
Wow.
In 2020, 68,000 were indefinitely confined. 50 some thousand votes, and the margin was 20,000 votes in Wisconsin. And then they also had Democracy in the Park, which the Biden campaign supported.
Explain Democracy in the Park?
It's inexplicable. It's like people, they could come and bring their ballots, however they got them, who knows, and vote, and then they would be gathered by people and taken to the voting booth.
So this is a celebration of ballot harvesting.
Yes, it is. It's exactly what it was.
And it was
wholesale ballot harvesting.
But here's the state legislature. Here's what the Supreme Court in Wisconsin said. Well, a lawyer for the state legislature wrote the two cities that were doing it, Madison and Milwaukee, and said they suggested it was illegal, but they never did anything else. And the term is sitting on your latches. We probably have a term that rhymes with that a little bit. But that's what the legal term is. You sat on your latches. You didn't do anything.
They
you don't come so late.
They should have sued immediately.
Can you talk
it.
About this kind of completely plastic and rumba phrase that has been used? I don't remember the legal terminology, that some states or some complainants complained too early or complained too late.
That's
and it just seemed to be totally subjective.
Well, that's one of
that's
the issues.
That's the standing question.
That's standing is one of the issues that these state legislatures have to address. And I don't know, it might be too sophisticated for them. But it's like when the Secretary of State, Raffensperger in Georgia, made this deal with Stacey Abrams, can the state legislature run into court immediately and say stop? Well, they didn't. I don't know why they didn't. But then they ought to pass a law that says we have standing to challenge this stuff right away.
What standing does Stacey Abrams have?
Well, she didn't have any standing. She didn't care. She was happy.
She was litigating on behalf of a group of people who filed suit to change Georgia election law, claiming that the laws were restrictive.
Right.
And that they were limiting the right to vote. So rather than litigate the question, the Secretary of State simply agreed with her in private, signed a consent decree, and changed Georgia law with no action of the legislature. None whatsoever.
Can you remember a precedent for that?
No, none whatsoever. No. This year was the year. See, remember, the Democrats had been spending the last 3 years going around the country using Perkins Coie, the law firm,
yes,
to litigate changes in election law, just like the one she negotiated.
Right.
And what happens was, remember, Stacey Abrams lost to Kemp,
yes,
as the governor, claiming that it was
she
racial,
really?
that she
well, she hasn't conceded.
That she had actually won, even though she was defeated by more than 50,000 votes.
And the biggest
and they
black
were afraid,
turnout.
And they were afraid. They were all afraid of being called racist. And you know what? They did exactly what she wanted, and they're still being called racist. So the bottom line is you have to do the right thing, not be scared to death.
It's like raising children. They're going to criticize you no matter what you do. So
really outrageous. What Raffensperger did is simply outrageous.
I'm not sure the comparison to raising children is what I'm going to refer to here. I'm just going to say you never, ever concede to the mob. The second you kneel to the mob, they defenestrate you. It never, ever works. They smell blood, and that's when they go in for the kill. Metaphorically, Media Matters, calm down. Keep typing. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, the Salem Radio Network, with our good friends Jody Jennifer and Victoria Tansey. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial. There are millions of law-abiding gun owners out there, and many don't realize how fast a self-defense situation can change their life forever. You're simply going about your day, running errands, picking up the kids, getting gas, or attending church. In a split second, a normal day turns into the worst day of your life. And while a self-defensive incident may only take seconds, the legal fallout can last years. That's why I am proud to tell you about U.S. Law Shield. They relentlessly protect law-abiding gun owners. For just $10.95 per month, you'll have immediate 24/7, 365 access to an attorney answered emergency hotline, and you won't pay a penny in attorney's fees. Members also have direct access to attorneys for state-specific guidelines on firearm and self-defense law. Now, U.S. Law Shield is not a law firm and is underwritten by third-party insurers in many states. State law and insurance regulations apply. Please see the website for the applicable underwriting company and terms of coverage. Call 833-4-GUN-LAW. That's 833-4-GUN-LAW. Or visit uslawshield.com/America for a special radio offer. You'll feel better having U.S. Law Shield on your side. 833-4-GUN-LAW or visit uslawshield.com/America.
The truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty. America First.
Thank you, Deep Voice Dave. If you want to text us your questions, you can use our patriotmobile.com text line. I answer each text. It's 703-869-1262. That's 703-869-1262. And if you like what you're listening to, if you enjoy talk radio, please support our sponsors, especially great Americans like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, a truth teller a man who loves this nation, who they're trying to cancel right now. 24 corporations boycotting his MyPillow products. Go straight to his website, MyPillow.com. And because you're a friend of America First, Mike's going to give you up to 66% off if you use my name. Over 100 products on his website. The latest superb sheepskin slippers. Incredibly comfortable. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Can I get you some slippers? They're really good. Are you interested?
Of course.
Joe, you're looking a little bit.
Sure, why not?
All right. We'll get your size and color preference. So go ahead.
No, it's interesting how the left has no problems with boycotts.
Oh, no problems. Except now, you mentioned Stacey Abrams. Now she's a little bit worried about Georgia. Let's go back to Wisconsin. You said there are some developments there. What's happening?
Yes, well, interestingly, the state legislature said, oh my gosh, this was a real problem with indefinitely confined people. Yeah. So they've passed the law. They have legislation that says that now you have to have an ID if you claim you're indefinitely confined. You have to swear it under oath, and if you've lied, it's a felony. And if
swear that you are confined.
Yes, you right? It's such like signing a false statement. You know, yep. It's a felony offense. And if you're under 65, you have to have a doctor verify that you are indefinitely confined. But Wisconsin has a Democratic governor who's not going to like that because they like all. But my theory is, and it has not been ever taken to the Supreme Court, but the U.S. Constitution says the state legislature.
Right.
It doesn't say state legislation. It doesn't say anything about with approval of the governor.
Right.
The state legislature shall determine time, place, and manner. And it's my theory that, and Joe agrees, thankfully, that this is a constitutional mandate by the Constitution to the state legislature.
It doesn't need the signature of the governor to be a federal rule. In other words, they sit in essence as a Congress. They're sitting as Congress in this role when they do time, place, and manner.
So it's really peculiar. It creates this special constitutional power
That's exactly right.
A federal event, but it's a state organ that has that constitutional mandate. It's very peculiar, isn't it?
And the framers' language very carefully all throughout the Constitution. They say the state, the state, the state,
except
the state, except in this clause where they say the state. Legislatures and legislators, not the state and not the governor. And that simply means that if the two houses of a state legislature agree on language about time, place, and manner, that's it.
And here's the thing about the election, which is interesting. When Rudy and Jenna were going around the country talking to these states, they were saying, because they have the same, the state legislatures have the same authority under the Constitution to select the electors.
Exactly.
And they were saying, and they were going, oh, well, we can't. The governor hasn't called a legislative session under state law.
And they were saying
their argument to them was, you've got it.
There's no legislation required, no approval of the governor.
It's the state house. The
legislature.
But not one of them had the cojones
We'll discuss testicular fortitude in a second.
You would be amazed at the weak-kneed Republican lawyers around
save
the
a
country.
Whole, I'm going to save a whole segment for that. We're going to talk about that. We've got 60 seconds left in this segment. Joe, how important is the issue of voter rolls in America in our elections?
You mean cleaning them up
yes.
and making sure that dead people
yes.
aren't and felons and all those. The bottom line is states have traditionally ignored cleaning up their rolls because they don't like the cost and the expense. So what they do is they leave dead people on the rolls. And once you join dead people with mail-out voting, in other words, absentee ballots go to everybody, that is a prescription for fraud.
Yeah,
and that
an
is
invitation.
Exactly what one of the things that the Baker-Carter Commission warned against. They said voter rolls have to be cleaned up because if you don't, you're going to have fraudulent voting occurring by dead people, by people who manipulate the process, especially through absentee voting, which is why they said mail-in voting should be illegal.
I learned something. I learned multiple things. Every time we have our guests in studio, I'm going to do my homework on the Baker-Carter Commission because it's always good to use, Democrat product against the Democrats.
Even if it is Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, even if it is Jimmy Carter. Although, you know, they say he was smart, awful president, but, you know, boomer nuclear scientist on our submarine service, so couldn't have been that dumb.
Although he said nuclear.
He couldn't pronounce nuclear, but anyway. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Sadly, we're living under a Biden-Harris administration, and we all have to navigate the fallout of the barrage of executive orders. We have a good idea of what these are going to mean for the country. More debt, more regulation, slower growth, and higher taxes. Congress continues to expand spending, and the Fed has no choice but to keep printing money at an accelerated rate. This causes the dollar to fall and gold to increase. Add in recent talk of the so-called Great Reset, the multinational elite enacting a digital wallet currency, and just think of the implications of all of this and exactly what it'll do to your personal finances. The importance of owning physical gold and silver has never been stronger. Time to create your own gold standard with a call to the dealer I do business with. Call the experts at veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-4653. Online at MidasGoldGroup.com.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America First.
We'll accept that challenge. We're going to boggle little Stelty's mind. Yes, Brian Stelter, because it's so easy. Joe was chortling there when he recognized Mr. Potato Head's name. Is it Mr.? Is it Ms.? Who knows? He just looks like a potato. I don't do that often, but with him, it's just so easy. Welcome back to America First with our special guest, Joe DeGeneva, Victoria Tunsing. Follow them at Vic Tunsing on Twitter. That's TOENSING. We have to get to the what do we do now? What is it Lenin said? What is to be done? How do we make sure it doesn't happen again? What is the answer for how we got here? First things first, I'm stunned by two things. Ignorance, massive ignorance on our side, especially amongst those who seem to be credentialed lawyers. And second, the lack of courage, a scintilla of courage amongst legislatures in the states, and also amongst the judges. Am I mistaken? Am I missing a big piece of the puzzle, guys?
No.
No.
Not at all. And we don't have a George Soros.
Right. Ooh, you mentioned the name there. Are you allowed to mention that name? Let's talk about George Soros. Let's talk about Mark Zuckerberg. Let's talk about Facebook. $500 million invested into, quote unquote, training local officials in elections. Okay, so let's very simply. They have a plan. They're organized. They've got billions.
And millions.
On our side, where's the real paucity? Where's the biggest lacking item? Is it ignorance? Is it courage? Talk to me as the people who are fighting for President
Trump. It's money and an organization.
Joe?
Again, money and organization. We do not have a benefactor with the dollars and cents like the Zuckerberg company. We have people with a lot of money, but they don't put it into this field.
Yeah.
And as a result, we are disadvantaged. Notwithstanding that, in this last election, we didn't lose a single seat that was contested in the House.
In fact,
this was a huge defeat for the Democrats. But for the idiocy that went on in Georgia and the failure of almost, I think it's more than 250,000 Republicans who didn't vote in the runoff.
Yeah.
Huge
voter suppression.
Yeah, I believe
people.
In voter suppression. I want to suppress every illegal vote. Call me a racist. I don't care whether you're white, black, yellow, purple. If you're a legal voter, you should be suppressed. Okay, let me get down to brass tacks very simply. And I'm going to lay the blame at the RNC and Rona McDaniel's front door. If you know, whether it's COVID or anything else, if you know that they've come up with an excuse to mail out 80 million unbidden ballots with no requirement to prove that you need to mail it in, well, then, if I'm Rona McDaniel, I'm going to say, okay, you can do that, Democrats, but I'm posting a poll station watcher in every precinct of America next to every drop box 6 months in advance.
No, you're not. Well, to the drop box. But you know, the other big issue throughout all these states, Sal, was the fact that the Republican watchers showed up to watch the vote count, and they were told, because of COVID, you must stand 6 to 20 feet back.
And that's what I wouldn't permit.
And there were no, well, wait a minute, there were no courts open.
Well, this is what I'm asked, the courage of the local officials or the judges.
No, well, there was no place to call.
It was a combination of, in many places, the poll observers did exactly what they were supposed to do. They went, they complained, they went to court, there were court orders, and then sometimes sheriff said, we're not going to enforce those court orders in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Yeah. We're not going to enforce those. And if you try to get close, we're going to arrest you. Then they threw people out. They threw observers out. I mean, the conduct was simply unbelievable.
So what's the answer?
Well,
the state legislature has to have courts open from the moment
the polls are closed. No, no, but if the sheriff says, I'm not going to let you in or kicks you out.
Well, that means that there has to be Victoria's got it right. The state legislatures have to insist that the courts are open, that they are available. They have to have 24-hour duty. They have to be able to enforce these rules. They have to hold sheriffs in contempt. They have to hold other people in contempt. If a court order is not going to be enforced because the sheriff doesn't want to, that sheriff should be locked up. There ought to be a case against that person.
See, 8 o'clock at night when the voting starts, the courts are closed. So in Philadelphia, when they had to wait until the next morning
Who locks up a sheriff?
A judge.
Yeah.
Because his or her
He's
order
has been... contempt of an order.
Yes, contempt.
Yeah. And what, then the court officials can arrest that man?
Yeah.
Yes.
The bailiffs? Okay. In that case, we need a new breed of local officials and a new breed of judges, it sounds like.
We also need a very vigilant Republican Party at the local level with people engaged, prepared. We need to have money set aside for this. And there needs to be a national campaign of voter readiness and observer readiness.
Okay, so here's the big question. And you've been fighting this for decades on Capitol Hill, in the Senate, at the Department of Justice. Where do we put this? If we find the good guy George Soros on our side, if we create the organization, I don't think it should be connected to the GOP or the RNC. Should this be a standalone entity like Zuckerberg did with his civil action, whatever, foundation? What is the shape that will work, in your opinion?
Well, that was like putting lipstick on a pig. Of course it was connected with the Democratic
Party.
No,
but I'm talking about if we want to get it right and we don't want to be beholden to rhinos and swamp creatures, Joe.
Well, I think it's very difficult to do it independently. I think what you have to do is you have to force the Republican Party to be serious, to fight, to learn. And that's what Trump did. He knew how to fight, and he wanted people to fight.
But the RNC doesn't.
The RNC, however, still has that country club mentality. And, you know, you don't want to dirty your hands. And they were not prepared for this battle. There's just no doubt they were not prepared.
It's actually going to be something we discuss on my new show this weekend, the Gawker Reality Check, what we learned from Donald Trump. And one of the greatest things, in addition to his destroying the fake news' remnant of a reputation, is he taught us how to fight. Thank you, President Trump. Check it out this Sunday, Newsmax, 7 p.m. Eastern, also 10 p.m. Eastern. And then every Monday, the legal experts on National Report, 11 a.m., Joe and Victoria on Newsmax. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. So much more to discuss, and there's only a few minutes left. But don't touch that dial. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're coming to you live from ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, it's just the answer for all of you who suffer daily pain and have found relief nowhere else. It has rid me of my lower back pain that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. My wife's arthritis. Now my daughter, I told you on Monday, now my 23-year-old daughter is taking Relief Factor for her back issues. Whether it's your hip, your foot, your shoulder, you've got to try this if everything else has failed. See the incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com and then find out for yourself. It's so simple. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, my family of members, Victoria, and some other people. Tens of thousands of them. Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Deep in the swamp. First place in your hearts. America First with Dr. G.
Sorry. Where did that hour go? It's outrageous. We'll do a program one day for all 3 hours with our guests.
That'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun? We'll have a special occasion. We'll bring in cake and donuts and have fun. Maybe some Italian food. Joe, Victoria, let's get to the crux of the matter, not just elections in the swamp. To get this right... God willing, if my old boss runs again. Personnel, personnel, personnel?
No doubt about it. Personnel is destiny, and the Trump administration simply did not handle it well. And when you look at the National Security Advisor situation and the way that, quote-unquote, evolved with the decapitation of Michael Flynn from the very beginning and how that set everything off, they never recovered. And
If Jeff Sessions had not been Attorney General.
Yeah,
I mean there are so many issues about personnel that went poorly, and it must be said that the Trump people were not prepared to govern in the beginning. They needed
and how crucial is the position of chief of staff, Joe?
Well,
is that where it all begins?
Yeah, you got to have a killer.
Killer, right? You got to have a political killer who knows how this whole stinking city works.
Yeah,
and get stuff done.
It's very important, and it's indispensable to a successful presidency.
And someone who will kneecap like an Italian.
Even though President Trump was
Are you intimating?
He would have been a great chief of staff.
Oh, my gosh, Joe, come on, 2024. I can see you there in the White House.
Yeah, well, but the bottom line was President Trump was his own man. He liked to direct everything, but he needed a chief of staff. He needed someone who was steeped in Washington, D.C., and was a tough cookie.
Give us a historical name of somebody from the past who would have been good. Example.
James Baker.
I knew you were going to say James Baker.
I mean, you know, the man who ran Washington.
Right.
James A. Baker was brilliant.
He
was a killer.
Oh, God.
But he did it nicely.
He put the stiletto in.
He had a way about him that was just, but he was uncompromising, but he was also diplomatic, and he knew how to do things. And when he had a way of saying things that you knew you were done and it was over. he was actually my favorite. I've always loved James A. Baker III.
I'm reading a biography right now. He's a fascinating character, truly unique. All right, personnel, personnel, personnel. He hasn't made his decision. He's toying with it. I know he is. We might talk very soon with my old boss. We'll keep you posted, guys, and we'll tease out anything else we can get from him. I just want to take this opportunity, not just for thanking you, to get in here, get past the construction outside, find your way, but in front of millions of listeners and viewers, I want to thank Joe DiGenova and Victoria Tansing for everything you did in the last year, in the decades that you've served this nation, but especially in the last year to fight the good fight. Because there are very few like you. Thank you.
You're very kind.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next up, he said it. It's official. Congressman Lee Zeldin's going to be on the show. He's running for the governor of New York. Stay with us, won't you?